Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. The Word of God says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Then Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines. They were dismayed and greatly afraid." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. I want to tell you, share with you a little story, a true story. A woman named Florence Chadwick attempted to swim from the Catalina Island to the California coast in 1952. This was an attempt to set a record for covering that particular distance in a certain amount of time. When she entered the water, a heavy fog settled in and it blinded her. She couldn't see. She became disoriented and she became discouraged and she gave up. She couldn't go any further. She had made her mind up. She had gone as far as she felt like she could go. She didn't know if she was swimming out into the ocean or if she was swimming toward the shore. So she called to the people in the rescue boat. They came to pick her up. They got her in the boat. They didn't want to tell her. She was only 300 yards away from the coast. She had gotten that close, and gave up. She was that close to victory. When they did tell her, she looked at them and she said, "All I could see was hopeless. Hopeless. The fog clouded her vision and kept her from victory." So let me ask you, how do you see challenges that come before you? How do you see the difficult things in life that come before you? When David stood on a hillside and saw a 9-foot giant warrior, he, like the rest of Israel, heard a taunting. When you are standing on a hillside and you are seeing a 9-foot warrior and you're being taunted by that warrior, how do you respond? How do you respond? Is it an obstacle or is it an opportunity? That's a pretty simplistic way to think about it. Some would say, "Preacher, you're just making it entirely too simple. There's a lot more to be considered than an obstacle or an opportunity." Well, if we want to analyze it
And if we want to logically think through it, then probably that argument is right. But if we want to consider this thing by faith, it's either an obstacle or an opportunity. And we make that decision. We make it. We can't avoid Goliath in our life. He's necessary. Now you say, wait a minute. Just wait a minute, preacher. Since when is Goliath necessary? Well, he is. He is necessary for your spiritual growth. Now, I'm kind of going to explain that just a little bit. We're talking about David, and we're listening to him, and we're familiar with the story of David and Goliath and the smooth stones and the sling and all of that. We've all heard it since the time we were knee-high to a puddle duck. But think about this. This was only the second real challenge that David had. The one before this was a bear and a lion. And David was rescued from that by God. Now David goes from having two wild beasts to having one wild man. A 9-foot man. A 9-foot man that felt like he was 10-foot tall and bulletproof. A 9-foot man that had convinced the armies of Israel that he was 10-foot tall and bulletproof. So here's a challenge for someone, and that someone was David. Now you know the end of the story, but think of what lie ahead for David. He was pursued by Saul, and we're going to get into more of that here in a moment. But he wound up being pursued by Saul because Saul became jealous and envious of David and considered him an enemy. And then after all of the pursuit of that, he wound up taking ownership of what God had ordained him to be, which was king of Israel. And then when that happened, he had family problems. He wound up with troubles with Bathsheba and the murder of Bathsheba's husband. He had moral failure. He had spiritual failure. The point I'm trying to make and wanting to make and I'm drawing a picture of is simply this. The obstacle that we see today as being insurmountable is nothing more than an opportunity to prepare us for something much bigger that's coming down the road. We don't know what lies ahead. God does. We don't. So the obstacles, what we may see as an obstacle that's being put in front of us today is an opportunity to strengthen us spiritually, to strengthen us physically, to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our confidence in God, to lead us and guide us and direct us through it. It's a training opportunity for us. It's an opportunity for the witness and the testimony of the glory and the power of God in our life. So when we see Goliath in our life, is it an opportunity or is it an obstacle? Goliath could be some addiction. Goliath could be a habit, an attitude, a job layoff, a financial problem, a marital problem, an illness. It could be a person. Goliath could be anything today. In your life, in my life, Goliath can take the image and the form of anything. But the point comes back as I introduce this message tonight. Is it going to be an obstacle or an opportunity? That's the way we have to return to thinking. Not begin, but return to thinking that way. As a child of God, we have to look at these things as opportunity for growth. Opportunity for my personal growth as a Christian. God's going to take this and He's going to do something with it. God's going to take this and work through my life and come out on the other side, and I might have a few battle scars, and I might be tired, and I might be a little worn down, but God will have glory on the other side of this thing. A couple of points I want to come out of this tonight. First, I want us to see that the limited view of the faithless will bring about fear, and that will result in dominance by the enemy. Fear comes into our lives when we live by sight and not by faith. When we base our decisions on only what we can see, the tangibles, what we can put our hands on, we are living by sight, not by faith. It is a sobering but a very real fact tonight. There are many inside of the body of Christ, many churches inside the body of Christ that are living by sight, not by faith. They are basing everything they do inside and outside of the church. Anything that comes through the church, they're basing on sight. What's the bottom line going to be on the budget? Is it going to make money or cost money? Is it going to bring in people or is it going to push away people? Is it going to make the building look good or is it going to make the building look bad? We don't want to, and no one wants to do anything damaging. But the reality is, if we're going to live by faith, we have to follow the direction and the purpose that God has given us and not worry about the tangibles, but reach out in faith and expect God to do His work through us. And we have to be willing to take the opportunities that He puts before us and not worry about what the sight of it is, not worry about what it looks like, not worry about these things. If God says to go out here and change the direction of the driveway coming into the building, then that's what we need to do, and not worry about what it costs, and not worry about how it looks, not worry about it. He's got a purpose for telling us to do it. That's a very odd example, I admit, but nonetheless, it is an illustration that proves the point that I'm trying to make. We can be a faithful follower and be obedient to what God wants in our life, or we can say, I'll go only as far as I can see. Some folks do a lot of hunting. If you do a lot of hunting, you realize you have to go where the game is. You can't just depend on how far you can see. When you go into the woods and you're going into on that hunting trip, you may have to walk a mile or 2 miles or more back into the woods, and you can't see that far, but you have to go by faith. If you go by sight in some of these thicketed areas around here, you won't go very far because you can't see very far. Faithlessness is something we can do without. But when we look at things as an obstacle, we often see them as some imposing figure. We can't get over that. We can't get over that. That costs too much. That goes too far. That asks too much. We're not used to doing that. There is a fear that comes over us because it's something new, it's something different, and it looks imposing. And the enemy, the devil himself, comes into our heart, into our life, and starts putting all kinds of thoughts of failure in front of us. the enemy starts convincing us we are defeated before we ever take the battlefield. He starts telling us we are defeated before we ever look at it as an opportunity to serve God, as an opportunity to reach out and do the things that God wants done in our life. What does God want to do in your life? How often have we ever thought about that? How often do we consider what God wants out of life? I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm planning on this, I plan on doing this, and this. And then something will happen. Something will happen. It caught me off guard. I didn't plan on that. I'll tell you something that happens to many college students. And I hear this more and more. And the best analogy that I can come up with to give you an illustration of it is one that my wife gave me. And over something very similar to this, and I've applied it to a much broader application. When our students, our children are growing up and they're going through school and they really excel and they apply themselves and they're doing great academically, here in these small country towns, and they are a big fish in a little sea. They move into a college up the road to Western Carolina, down the road to UNC Charlotte, whatever it may be. They get into a big atmosphere. Suddenly they become a little fish in a big sea. And everything that their life was built around now was an opportunity they see as an obstacle. And that obstacle then becomes something fearful. And fear moves in and takes over. And then they become so obsessed with being what they used to be instead of focusing on being what they can be at the moment. And before they realize it, their dreams have turned into nothing more than wishful thinking. Because what was an opportunity now becomes an obstacle, and they have given in to fear. They've given in to fear. That's one example. It can go on. Those things, the big fish in the little sea and the little fish in the big sea, can be a picture that's applied to your work. It can be applied to anything in your life. But the reality of it is there are obstacles, there are Goliaths that are going to come up in our life. And we have to decide how we are going to look at them. Are they going to be an obstacle or are they going to be an opportunity? And if they are going to be an opportunity, they have to be an opportunity that God is going to be involved with and in the center of, and they're going to have to be an opportunity that God will lead us through and He will have glory out of it. An opportunity where God is in control. I go back and I ask the question, how long has it been since we've really considered what God wants in our personal life, in our family life, in our church life? How long has it been since we've asked, God, what do you want? Or do we really and truly not want to do that because we're afraid of what we may hear? Do we look at God as an obstacle or an opportunity? Now that's a challenge tonight. Are we so concerned about what we may hear, that we don't want to ask that question. We don't want to appear, we don't want to approach God, and we don't want to ask God, what do you want? Because we're really afraid of what we might hear. If that's the case, we need to meet that as an opportunity. An opportunity for us to overcome in our life. An opportunity for God to get us beyond that so that we are back to truly living by faith. Because if we're looking at God as an obstacle, we're not living by faith. We are a faithless people. And we are giving ourselves the opportunity for the enemy to dominate us. For the devil to dominate us. And he will. The opposite side of that, point number two tonight, is the unlimited view of the faithful and how it brings about courage. And that courage will result in a dominating of the enemy, of overcoming. Courage comes when we live by faith. Not arrogance. Don't get the two confused. But courage. When we live by faith, our courage is placed in God. When we live by faith, our courage is placed in what He can do through us, not what we can do for Him. We can't impress God. I really don't know where we came up with the mindset that we were going to impress God. But that is a big thing that's going around. That we're going to get God's attention. When we get God's attention, He's going to bless us. When we get God's attention, we're going to do this. When we get God's attention, this is going to happen. When we get God's attention, we're not going to impress God. There's nothing we can do to impress God. We have nothing God wants or needs. We need Him. We need His Son, Jesus Christ, for our eternal redemption. And we need our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order for us to be successful, in order for us to have the courage that's needed to meet the challenges of life that I'm calling a Goliath tonight. Courage will come because we have confidence in God's unlimited power and not because of our limitations. Faith will always see obstacles as a potential victory because of God, not because of me, not because of us, not because of a bank account, not because of an association, not because of who our friends are, not because of who we know or who we don't know, not because of who we voted for or who we didn't vote for, but because of God. It all comes down to faith in God. You see, when we look at the story and the account of David and Goliath, we have to understand that the eyes of faith see a different issue. David said on ahead in verse 26, "Who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of the living God?" David listened to the big 9-foot blowhard and said, "Who does he think he is, defying the armies of God?" The rest of the nation of Israel, including Saul, saw him as undefeatable. David, through faith, saw him not as insulting Israel, not as insulting Saul, not as insulting him, but David saw him as insulting God. When we confront obstacles in our life, do we confront them as they are insulting us, or do we confront them as they are insulting God? When we try to overcome something and we're going at it with faith, are we going at it to overcome it on our benefit, something that's going to come back and benefit us? Or are we looking at it as some way that God can use it in His plan? God, how can you use this? God, I want this to work out for you. God, I want to turn this over to you. When we take our jobs and we look at our jobs as something that, well, I have to do it because I have to pay my bills, jobs can be very depressing, very frustrating, and something that you do not look forward to. When you take your job and when you look at it as an opportunity to further God's work, and in the process, you have to make a house payment, and you have to make a car payment, and you have to make a power bill, but in the end, your main objective is to further the work of God, and it's all going to benefit Him, and you're saying, God, take my job and turn it into something you can use. And then when obstacles come up at work, are they coming up against you, or are they coming up against God? How do we view our life? David viewed life at this point as something he lived for God and for God's glory. And whatever it was that came up against him came up against God. He had eyes of faith, and they saw something entirely different. It wasn't a threat to his personal security, but it was a defiance of the power, the presence, and the character of God. David didn't see the armies of Israel being run down. He saw the armies of God. He had courage. Courage that came from faith. We can have that courage tonight. We're getting ready to close. Tomorrow, we're going to begin a new week. This evening, when we go in and we get home, we're going to turn on our televisions. We're going to look at news events. We're going to see what's unfolded in the world around us. Are they going to be opportunities to serve God, or are they going to be obstacles that are going to prevent us from living as close to God as we can live? Those are questions that you must answer in your heart, and I must answer in my heart. Obstacles or opportunities? When we look at Goliath, any Goliath in life, how are we going to see it? We can see it either way. We can see it as an obstacle that's going to prevent us from doing something, even something that God wants. Or we can see it as an opportunity that God's going to use to strengthen us. To strengthen us spiritually, to strengthen our courage, to strengthen our confidence in Him. And prepare us for the next event that he knows is coming in life. Obstacle or opportunity. That's what we have to face. That's how we have to face it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Lord God, as we come to you tonight in closing, we thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for the word that you've given. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take it. I pray that you will use it, apply it to our hearts. I pray that you'll give us courage. 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 And that courage will come from confidence that you are in control. And Heavenly Father, I know this sounds, it's easier said than done. But God, I believe that as you've done and as you worked in David's life, you can work in our lives tonight. And I pray that you'll do that in the lives of everyone listening. Dear Heavenly Father, we'll be cautious and careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.